You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. You want a truck? You want a great deal? You want great service? No better place to get it than Lakewood Chev.
Now for NHL.com, let's bring in Tim Campbell. Tim, your thoughts on the timing of removing Peter Chiarelli as head man in charge, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, Jason, the overall timing at midseason, I guess, is kind of unusual, but clearly the ownership group thought that drastic change was needed here. The timing yesterday, like to have decided before the game and then tell Peter after the second period was over, I don't know. I thought that was unique, I guess, would be the best word I could use. Like, why wouldn't they have been able to do it on Monday? Or what about, like, deciding today? I'm just not quite sure why game day before the game was the time. But it's all water under the bridge now, and the change has been made. So I guess it doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And that's the thing. The work's done. So down at the press conference today, was there something said by Bob Nicholson that really jumped out at you as an interesting talking point?
Well, I guess, you know, the thing I was looking to hear, Jason, was, you know, what about the future? How does he view the assets the Oilers have, like some of these smart young players that they've drafted in the last two or three years? You know, people like Kyler Yamamoto and Jesse Puljujärvi and the coming defensemen that, I don't know, I would be a little bit high on, like Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones and probably Evan Bouchard. Like, what's he going to say about those guys? Are they in play? Do they see them as simply assets, or are they ready to stick it out and help develop these kids and you know, build the team from within, that which seems to be the way to go in the NHL these days? So to hear him say today that, you know, really he wasn't interested in trading this year's first round pick, I think that's really good news for the organization long term. I don't think it helps anybody tomorrow or on February 2nd, I guess, when the schedule resumes for the Oilers. But to hear some reassurance that they at least understand how it is you have to go about building a team in today's NHL, I would take some encouragement from that. I don't think it helps one bit the rest of this season, but, you know, you have to look at the big picture as well as the little picture here. I know it hurts not being in the playoffs right now. It may hurt not being in April, but that might be the medicine that's required here to go about building this franchise back up correctly.
Yeah, it really is interesting because it's a real it could be a real wake-up call. And, you know, Bob Nicholson, the man in charge now of the Edmonton Oilers, he also mentioned about the idea that they don't feel they're out of it. He doesn't want to trade away the first pick anymore, won't mortgage the future to try to make the playoffs this year. So do you think that that's maybe there's something else they could trade for to try to get in, or is this more internally that the guys just start playing better than they – or, sorry, more consistently than they've shown in recent games?
Well, I don't know about you, and again, you know, you've played, so you would have maybe a clearer picture of how much is possible from within the room. But, you know, to me, that's the most likely scenario if we're talking about how are they going to get better this year. Because, I mean, if you want to make a substantial trade, and by that I don't mean anything around the fringes like we've been seeing, you know, if you're going to put, you know, someone like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in play, or you know, I don't know, or Oscar Klefbom or Adam Larson or, you know, any of the, or Darnell Nurse, some of the major players on this team, if you're going to put them in play, well, you could probably affect a substantial change to the team, to its character, to maybe its style, to its emphasis. But, you know, are you really going to gain by that? To me, anything like that is probably just a sideways move. You'll get value for some of those really important quality players. But you'd have to subtract something substantial to get something substantial. So to me, the only positive potential to save the season and make the playoffs is they claim they still want to do. And I guess it's a laudable goal, but that's going to have to come from the players who are here and play better. And that's the only option, the way I see it, for this season.
Tim Campbell joins us, talking all things NHL. This is specifically about the Oilers today. Tim, got a text here. I want to get your thoughts on it. And this is from Jimmy. Why do people think that all these GMs will be begging to come here now that the position is open? It's not exactly the most desirable position for these guys to put themselves into here. Your thoughts on that text?
Well, yeah, I can't disagree with it, because whoever takes this job, whoever gets this hire, is most likely going to have, you know, their hands full, and maybe their hands, you know, in one handcuff when they begin, because of some of the cap issues and the salary expenditures that are committed here for the future. There are ways to get out of contracts and buyouts, and they require some pain and some cash flow and some cap penalties, you know, over longer terms. But I mean, there are some mechanisms in the CBA that can help, but those aren't all the answers. It's probably going to take a GM maybe who's a little more frugal, because I'm with the majority, I think, of my colleagues, and I would imagine you. I mean, I haven't heard anyone say, well, the Oilers are underpaying their players, or, you know, they don't like to dole out a fair buck. The general consensus everywhere seems to be that they've overpaid for several players, and some of that overcommitment has put the squeeze on them even further. So, you know, that'll be a good place to start, to stop doing that sort of thing. And yeah, it maybe won't be the most attractive job in terms of handling the finances, but as you and I both know, there's only 31, soon to be 32 of these jobs around, and it's pretty rare to find somebody who's, you know, not interested in doing them. There are challenges, but you know, I think all things can be overcome, and I think the attractiveness, you should not go without saying, of having the best player in the game on your roster is probably going to be a pretty good selling point.
There's no doubt about it. One last one for you. We're talking all things at Edmonton Oilers here. Is there a candidate or two that you would, you know, just, you may not know them intimately or exactly, but the idea of a candidate who's out there currently, either employed or unemployed right now, do you think it'd be a nice fit for the Edmonton Oilers as they try to, I'm assuming, solve this prior to the draft?
Yeah, that's a really hard question, because I don't think there's very many of us in you know, the business of covering the NHL that have worked too closely with very many of these kind of executives. I mean, I've been hearing the name of Kelly McCrimmon a lot today, and I think the world of Kelly. You know, he's kind of cut his management teeth in a really neat way with Vegas, so I can't imagine he wouldn't be interested. I don't know what his plans for the future are. But to me, he would be an exciting sort of guy who's been around the game a long time. You know, he's a good Western Canadian guy. I think there would be a great reception for a guy like Kelly and the Edmonton Oilers. And to me, that would be a good kind of fit. But I can't imagine, Jason, that there aren't, you know, 8, 10, 12, like top end candidates who would have some level of interest in this job. So to me, you know, Bob Nicholson and Darryl Cates, they're going to have, you know, the choice of many, many good candidates. And you just hope that, the day they decide who it's going to be, that it'll be their maximum clarity day and that they're going to make the right selection.
Perfect stuff, Tim. I appreciate your time. I know you're trying to get on a flight, so best of luck with traveling. We'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you again soon, Jason. Thanks.